your goals in intent are set. I don't care what kind of misery you've had to this moment or what you perceive your intent is strong. The physical is weak. And yet the fact that you keep on keeping on tells you. Because it would be so much easier just to say, well, to heck with this. I'm not going to get anywhere. They've taken everything I've got. They hound me all the time. This is fun. And some of you will say, well, I'm just looking forward to that better. That's the only reason I'm doing it. I'm just looking forward to that better. No, you're not. You're looking forward to fulfilling a mission and attaining your goal. And you know that you need things of a human type of things to get there in this plane. And as long as the goal is never lost, you are feeding this monstrously large energy field to where you cannot help but succeed if you hold it. If you don't believe it and you don't trust it and you don't do anything and you quit, you won't get it, will you? It is like the one, I am going to lose. I knew I was going to lose. I knew it when I came into it. I was going to lose. Guess what? Well, you just come along and manipulate our brain. This was really interesting. Rick was up the house or on the phone or something. And Ron calls and there's one of these interchanges before the phone rings. And he's wondering what in the world is happening that, you know, to his mind. And Dorma said, well, good grief, you know. He zonked his mind just like he does ours. Well, that can be kind of amusing. I prefer not to think that I do that. On the other hand, if it is toward the right intent, is it not glory? That you can have that knowingness. That I'm going to keep right on going here. I will moan, complain. Oh my goodness, I'll whine. I don't care. As long as you don't change that intent. And when you're really down and that heart is really hurt and you don't see how you can go further, but that intent is the same, I'll carry you. I cannot help it if you cannot trust enough to not worry and get a headache and all those things. I didn't promise you abundance to waste. I said you'll have what you need as you need it. And until it's over, it ain't over. But I may. Until you do, it hasn't happened. Well, why do you make us go through this every day? I don't know. I never said anything different. Oh, but I, you know, What did I really say? I can use her again. What did I really say, Dorma, about a place to live, shelter over your head? I said I would see to it. There were a lot of lessons to be learned in between. Now ones will come back and say, oh, well, look at the deed. It's made out to the Phoenix Church of Christ. That's Phoenix, Arizona, number one, not Flapping Wings. Number two, it doesn't matter who is on that deed of trust. The RTC took the house unlawfully, illegally, and now they're trying to bury it and everything else. But it comes back to hurt her. You're still in it. That's because I promised she would still be in it. And yet I never told her she would not have to move. That's why she remains half-packed. In order to move, if it becomes necessary. Will she be able to live there forever? She may not want to. Does everybody hear me? What are we talking about? I said to her and to EJ, and some were present at the time. Al was present the very time I said to Dorma, the rest of the ones in this room can turn back right now. If you continue with me past this day, child, I will take care of you. I will shelter you. I will see to it. If you do my work, I will attend these other things. It does not mean they will not impact you. But if you go with me, there will be no turning back in this experience from this day, from this moment. And soon it will be that way for all in the room. I'm with you, sir. I'm with you, sir. I'm with you, sir. And then 2 days later, ooh, but look what you did. I didn't do anything. And if you prefer to pack up your dishes and move, you go ahead and do that. I said I would take care of you. I don't want you spending your time thinking about these other things when I need you to write. Well, 24 hours a day, yes. And sometimes we've just about done it. And it's with each one of you. I'm only using her as an example because she can't talk back. And at each given point in your experience, your job is the most important. And each one of you doing your job feels you don't have the most important job. In fact, yours isn't very important, and I'm kind of worthless. Well, she can write from now till she drops dead at 150 years old, and if somebody doesn't do something with it, she's just worn out her fingers. This is teamwork. And if you have to, under any circumstances, feel that your job is unimportant, then you better look around. How are you doing your job? It doesn't mean to get in there and do someone else's. It means yours. And if that does not please you, then wait. Or go do whatever it was you wanted to do or were doing or whatever, and maybe someday there will open up something different here. But I am not going to change the mission because you're irritated this afternoon. This is why special dispensations are made for workers. All Dorma has to tell me is look after my family. And man, everything has come against the family, from addictions to whatever, and I've said it's okay. We'll deal with those things when it's appropriate. If they were all in this room groveling at her feet, well, they wouldn't be. They'd be dead. The very security that bothers her the most in its absence, or actions in absence, or the very security that those ones need, and so does she, for now. And I know that it's very hard for you to accept that. But my brother doesn't listen, and they throw out the papers, then quit sending them. Do you see, your job may not be to force that down somebody's throat. That is never the answer. But I feel so filled with it. Good. Keep it overflowing. As things come into confirmation, they will see it. Or they won't. And you have to release it. And this is what I tell you about liftoff. I don't want my team that I have to have moving back and forth from ship to shore worried about a child in a holocaust over here on the coast. So for my workers, you better believe it. I will take up those children. I'm going to take them up anyway, the little ones. I don't want Dorma thinking about her grandchildren when I need her to handle something else. So my agreement is I will take them up. Period. This is the only time that anyone is ever taken without their permission. And guess what? You have to grow. Because when I get them aboard, if they want back down, I'm going to put them back down. Not the children. Well, what age? There is no age. There is no age included here. There is maturity. But those children of yours are my crew. And some of your children are my children. And if your idiocy is going to cost them, forget it. I will honor you. And quote your adult immaturity. But I want to tell you something. I rarely ever in all existence, when the going gets rough on the physical plane, I haven't yet had one ask to go back. But I'll guarantee you, the moment I do, you will release it, and I will put them back down. In fact, I have ones aboard craft that really ought to come back down there and finish their job, and it won't go. And some of them you're going to recognize. And I don't blame them. And if there's truly something they need to finish, they'll come back when the time is appropriate. You have to release. And that means you've got to know what's going on. And it is harder for all of you. More is expected of you. You can't just come sit in here for one or two meetings and be expected to know. You've got to study. Michael would not know what to write on the piece of paper if he didn't study what's already there. I'm sorry. It sounds really good in the New Age movement to have instant enlightenment. And you may have instant beginning awakening. There is no instant enlightenment. Do you ever get it? Oh, yes, sir. But you won't remember it. That's also part of it. And it's harder. You've got two things going that others don't. One is a beginning to remember and knowing, and an intent to do something. And then the absolute knowledge that God of light, truth, creation wins. The problem that you will have is that you don't know what winning actually means. He's already won. But at least you can go on that knowledge that there's going to be a change, either off this place for you, or you're going to do it on this place. There is one thing that you should be coming into the total security now, and that's knowing of your security. Because as you move along here, you can be terrified, but there ceases to be any fear. Man does not even fear what's after. Man fears that interim period of time of making a death. Will it hurt me? Will it be instant? Will I have cancer? Will I this? Will I that? And once you realize that is terror, and a good, respectful fear of what could be, to the point that you are not careless. But when there is no fear of that beyond, it is only better, and you know it's better, you will never take your own life just to make it what you perceive to be possibly better because you don't like it here. Doesn't mean that you may not take your own life if it gets too unbearable here and you know that you have another job. You will not just simply go blow your brains out because I can't take it here any longer. If you have another mission, you might very well do that. But I wouldn't suggest that you try to figure out why another person does something, because you are not going to know. And it's intent. Even during the periods of times of doubt, you don't hang your hat on a space cadet. You hang your hat on your relationship and your connection with God. And you start out wherever you perceive Him. And if that's a New Age movement, for goodness sakes, grasp the moment you have to grow. Well, but you've said this New Age movement could destroy the world, you bet. Just like the old age one did. You're going to have to come into truth. Well, where do you start? You start wherever you can start. And you begin to pull truth out of every experience. And yes, most of you with gurus are going to outgrow them. Because you're going to understand that those magic illustrations were not all it. They know it's not all it. So why would you take away their honor by projecting such a thing? If they be of God in truth, they will teach you exactly what I teach you. And that's responsibility for self. In relationship to God, within those laws of goodness that keep harmony and balance ever, ever uppermost. It's not slithering around thinking, oh, well, I just love everybody and let them do whatever they want to do. You can allow them to do whatever they're going to do because it isn't your business. But if you think God has no conditions, my goodness, go read even the old books. And if you have no conditions to be placed on anybody, I just, you know, whatever. Do you not see not only the lie in it, but the hazards? God has conditions. It isn't to go to church on Sunday and tithe. That's a man-made law. God expects you to return abundance that He offers. And sometimes you have to give it first. In fact, all the time. It's like a good investment program. Do you think the mutual fund is going to pay you if you don't put something in? It may not be money. It could be service. But there's some pretty good commandments floating around the ethers. In Pleiades, there are only 8. And I talk now about the Pleiadian craft. You do need to know something about these aliens. You will find it in the more advanced Pleiadian ships that are thought-controlled, thought-travel. They will have the Aetherians, who can accomplish that. But anybody with the true technical capability of getting from another star system to your place is totally advanced, or they wouldn't be in your space. They may be total observers. Doesn't mean they're going to come from the light to just shine upon you. But they will not harm you. That is not allowed. And especially as a planet moves into a situation in which you find your own. And to put these human actions attached to these interesting beings from other places is laughable. If they could get here with an advanced race also here, why would they tinker around with your eggs? That's for your benefit. Because the adversary will always play to the emotional structure of the human five senses. And they're getting ready to spring this on you. And therefore, you have to be prepared first to know that that is pure garbage. And yet the first ones that you are given to see will probably be produced by them to terrify you. Mr. Reagan said something else to the Russians, that maybe we should unify against the aliens coming in from outer space. And he went on to say, what would we do if... That was not an accidental little slip of the lip, although they never showed it again. But that was on your slip-through television. So you can depend on them trying that one. Scare the living daylights out of you. Blood-sucking green monsters. If you want blood-sucking green monsters, you will conjure them up and you will have them, I can promise you. But they are not your space brethren. And you are a prison planet, and unless there are more prisoners coming in here, they will not be adversaries. And I'll tell you again about space brothers and aliens of all kind, exactly what I told you about Russia. Or any other grouping of people, your enemy, you personally, may very well not be the same enemy that is the enemy of your government. And you better hold that ever uppermost. Because sometimes you're not going to be able to tell the difference. And the only thing that will see you through is your goal, your direction, and your mission. And then you will be afforded protection. And yeah, it may be on an island. So let's get our job done so that it will be a nice island and you will have a good time and enjoy watching the show. And we're saturated. Let's go. I don't think I'll even take any questions. We're not going to go into overkill. That's always of our guests. But know that the ones who are guests today are not. And they've come to work. And that's what we're all here for. Because our work is joy. It is not a job. Salut. Salut.